Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Hungakar. Later on in the show, we'll hear about efforts to control a pest that costs farmers nationwide about $800 million in agricultural damage. I'm talking about feral hogs.
Some of them escaped from hunting farms. Some of them were illegally released for sport hunting. Some of them are turned loose, domestic swine that people don't want anymore.
But first, conservation officials will hold public meetings throughout Missouri on a deadly disease that affects deer. The meetings in September and October will focus on chronic wasting disease and how to limit its spread. These sessions are aimed at hunters, landowners, conservation groups, and businesses, including captive deer breeders and big game hunting preserves. Chronic wasting disease is a neurological condition that spreads through physical contact or contact with soil containing the waste of an infected deer. A team of Swedish researchers say they've confirmed the existence of a new chemical element, but its name may need some work. Researchers at Lund University said their discovery backs up claims by teams in Russia and the U.S. a decade ago that were unverified until now. The scientists say they've conducted experiments which allowed them to detect the, quote, fingerprint of the short-lived but super-heavy element that's been dubbed ononpentium. The name refers to the element's 115th place in the periodic table and is only provisional. It likely will get a new name once the discovery is formally approved by experts from the International Union of Pure and Applied Physics and Chemistry. Feral hogs are a big, expensive problem. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates the prolific procreators cause $800 million in damages each year to agriculture alone by destroying land and rooting up crops. Some states have successfully wiped feral swine out by taking action early. But as Jacob McClelland reports for Harvest Public Media, states like Missouri with more entrenched populations have shifted their focus from eradication to control.
Three biologists from the Missouri Department of Conservation and I are trudging through the Mingo National Wildlife Refuge in southern Missouri. Our destination is a muddy hole, baited with corn. It's a favorite spot for feral hogs. Conservation agents have been luring them to this spot for a week, and now it's our chance to catch them. We unfurl a net, suspend it over the pig's wallow, and retreat to our blinds, where I get a lesson in Feral Hog 101.
Some of them escaped from hunting farms. Some of them were illegally released for sport hunting. Some of them are turned loose, domestic swine that people don't want anymore.
That's wildlife management biologist Mark McLean. We're sitting in this blind beneath cypress, tupelos, and oaks, waiting for some pigs to take the bait. McLean has been training this sounder, that's the technical name for a herd of wild pigs, for a week to come to this spot. My job is to pull the rope that drops the net. McLean will fire the rifle.
They eat pretty much anything and everything. They scavenge dead animals. They root for grubs and worms. They eat roots of grasses, trees, any roots at all.
That rooting action is what makes them so destructive to ecosystems and to farmers, because they can plow through a field, devouring roots of soybeans or other crops. That's exactly what happened to Michael Tipton on his farm near Caruthersville, a small Mississippi river town deep in Missouri's boot heel.
Somebody came in and released a bunch of domestic hogs and then obviously turned feral on us after that.
Tipton knows somebody released the hogs on his property because they were typical domestic pigs, and they had places where their ear tags had been cut out. They were on his family's land on the banks of the Mississippi River. The hogs reproduced and got into about 6 acres of soybeans last summer, rooting them up and causing about $3,500 in damage.
It looks like the ground's just been turned upside down. That's just torn up. It looks terrible.
He killed some while hunting, trapped some, and the conservation department shot some of them from a helicopter. Now, he says only 3 are left. Missouri's feral hogs are in pockets like that throughout the southern third portion of the state. They've been in the state, though, for a long time, but they really started becoming a problem in the late 80s and early 90s. The state did not immediately tackle the hog problem when it first appeared. Now, some of those pockets are firmly entrenched populations, and total eradication is honestly out of the question. So the conservation department is trying to control those larger pockets and snuff out smaller new pockets ASAP before they turn into a bigger problem.
Any dead hog in Missouri is a good hog, okay? So we don't care how you do it as long as you get it done.
That's the Missouri Department of Conservation's Rex Martinson. The state has a shoot-on-site policy for feral hogs, as long as it's not firearm season for deer or turkey. But hunters are strongly discouraged from going out in the woods specifically to hunt pigs.
The problem with promoting hunting as a good thing is that it stimulates more hunting, which stimulates desire to have hogs in the state, and it kind of tends to perpetuate the species and the population.
Eating feral hogs is discouraged because they host diseases like brucellosis, which can be transferred to humans, and pseudorabies, which cannot. These two diseases can be passed to domestic pigs, according to Dr. Joseph Korn with the Southeastern Cooperative Wildlife Disease Study at the University of Georgia.
The concern is that now we have eradicated these diseases from domestic swine. They're still present in feral swine, and the possibility exists of reintroductions back into our domestic swine populations.
That threat is certainly a concern in Iowa, the top pork-producing state in the country. Iowa, though, is one of the success stories, along with Nebraska. Kevin Baskins is a spokesperson for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. He says small pockets appeared in the southwestern portion of that state about a decade ago. They didn't have a lot, fewer than 100, so his agency took what he calls a patient yet aggressive approach. They trapped as many of the invasive species as they could in a single setting, instead of killing them off one by one.
We got into it as early as we possibly could, and were very effective in getting the few that were out there before they could get established in the wild.
Back in our blind in southern Missouri, we had less success. Hogs' first line of defense is their sense of smell, and 4 sweaty dudes in swamp blinds for 3.5 hours were more than enough to keep them far away from our net. A couple days later, I got a call from Mark McLean, the wildlife management biologist. They had trapped some hogs in a corral near Piedmont, Missouri, a tiny town in the Ozarks. When I arrived, the hogs were huffing and puffing, rooting up the ground along the fence inside the corral. This illustrates the problem conservation agents are facing here. It takes long hours and a lot of labor-intensive work to catch a couple pigs and ultimately put them down. A lot of work just to keep them in check. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Jacob McClellan.
And that'll do it for this week's Under the Microscope. I'm Raymond Tongakar. Thanks for listening.